We are, I think, familiar territory today. We're in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the first 10 verses, a couple of short parables. I think you've heard them before, but whether or not that's true, listen to them again and listen in them for what God might say to us. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Which among you doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he returns home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and he says to them, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the very same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she does, she calls her friends and her neighbors together. She says to them, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is more rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, through our tiredness and our distractions, our fears, our doubts, our pride, our ego, our pain, and our confusion, may your word find us. May it convict us and challenge us and comfort us and change us, that we might be yours in all things. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I don't think it's a secret to most of you that the Bible has lots of shepherd images, including Jesus the Good Shepherd. Though most of us don't have a lot of shepherding experience, these are familiar, comfortable, probably loved imagery. In fact, in most churches, I would suspect in a church you've been in, probably in this church, probably in the church you grew up in, you would find one or more pictures or paintings or stained glass windows with shepherds on them. And I had planned to show a picture that I think you probably know, the picture of Jesus carrying the sheep. I had thought that in this sermon I'd do a little background on that painting and maybe there was something interesting about the artist and I'd tell you the history. But here's what I found out instead. There isn't one picture of Jesus carrying a sheep. There are dozens. And nobody is quite sure which one was first. And nobody is quite sure where it came from. That was ancient imagery. It starts showing up in the church very early, and there have been dozens and dozens of those kind of pictures. You've all, I would imagine, seen some version of that. I promise you have. Jesus carrying a single sheep, usually strapped across his shoulders, occasionally cradled in his arms, lovingly holding the sheep, returning it to the flock as the good shepherd. Now, our passage is not the only shepherd reference, but it might be the best known and the most loved. It's from the 15th chapter of Luke, and the whole 15th chapter of Luke is devoted to lost things. The whole chapter is really just three stories about lost stuff. A shepherd loses a sheep, a lady loses a coin, a father loses a son. In the first two, a search follows, and that ends in finding the lost thing and rejoicing. In the third, a father embraces and forgives the son who comes home after squandering all of his wealth. Some would argue that the 15th chapter is Luke's most profound chapter, and it may be. The prodigal son is one of the best, the good shepherd may be Jesus' best known parable. And we already mentioned this shepherd image becomes a defining way to think about Jesus. And it's not just pictures. There are songs and hymns. And I think my favorite of the bunch, we're actually going to sing today to close worship together. It's called "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." The lyrics are based on Psalm 23, but if you pay attention to the third verse, you'll see that we leave Psalm 23 and we travel into Luke 15 territory. This is what you're going to sing later. "Perverse and foolish, off I strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." It is a beautiful idea. Searching for the lost. A wayward, foolish sheep goes missing, and the shepherd, not willing to sacrifice even one of the flock, leaves the rest to go search and find it. And rather than scolding the dumb sheep for getting lost and costing him a day of looking, he lifts it to his shoulders and carries it back home. And he is so excited to have the lost sheep back in the fold that he calls his friends and throws a party. It's hard not to love a story like that. It's hard not to love the idea that if we are lost, Jesus comes looking for us. He doesn't just leave us out in the woods wandering alone. He doesn't scold and belittle us for getting lost. He rescues us, takes us back, carries us where we belong, to home. No wonder that imagery is love. Jesus, the good shepherd, who loves the sheep so much that he would leave most of them to save one of them. What a beautiful picture of the lengths Jesus would go to save even one lost sheep. One single sinner. Which is actually where the story and the problem starts. You might have missed it. It's easy to read over. We get into the story, and so we miss the prologue. The opening verses of this best chapter on lost things say this: the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." It's easy to miss, but Jesus tells the lost stories to people who don't think they're lost. People who look down on those who are. This is not some generic sermon Jesus is preaching. This is a targeted lesson. There's a beautiful irony here in the telling of the story. In the text, Jesus says, "Who among you, what man among you," it literally says, "wouldn't leave the 99 sheep to go find the one who is lost?" Well, the irony is most of them wouldn't. Maybe none of them would. They see the crowd coming to Jesus, and they don't see lost sheep. They don't see people in need. They see sinners. They see people who have messed up. They see people who have gotten it wrong. They see people who don't fit, who are outsiders, who don't get it, who aren't respectful, who aren't one of us. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus sees. He just sees with different eyes. Jesus just has a different heart. It's fascinating that this whole parable is a question. Which of you wouldn't go find a lost sheep? Which of you wouldn't put it on your shoulders and carry it home and rejoice? Because in heaven, says Jesus, that's how it works. The fundamental problem with the Pharisees, as I see it, is A, they don't think of themselves as lost. In fact, I'm not sure they think they can be lost. And B, they think Jesus is chasing the wrong sheep. If you listen to this story through their ears, it has an edge to it that we often miss. All those sheep pictures, dressed up, good-looking, pale-skinned Jesus, carefully carrying a fluffy, fuzzy, white, well-meaning but misguided sheep back to a nice flock who is waiting for them in a clean, warm, friendly church building somewhere. It sort of leads us to think that this parable is about us. I think we often think of ourselves as the sheep getting carried, which is a nice thought, especially if you're one of those people who are kind of prone to wander once in a while. It's nice to know that if you get outside the fold a little bit, Jesus will come and find you. But when you really hear the parable, you can forget its original setting. When we hear it about us getting carried, you can miss the intent. You can forget that it was told to people who really weren't interested in lost sheep, who weren't looking for them. It was told to some people who thought other people had no place in the flock. They weren't good enough. They didn't think the right way. They didn't act the right way. And they were offended that Jesus would have anything to do with them. Which makes the great irony of this beloved story that the ones it's addressed to, the ones who are judgmental and self-righteous and sure they have all the answers, are actually the ones who are lost. Because they don't think there's any room in the flock for those who aren't like them. What the Pharisees and all the sort of self-righteous people miss, what they didn't ever understand, is that the good shepherd isn't the good shepherd because he chases the right sheep, but because he chases lost sheep. So do me a favor. Try this, and I'm going to tell you it may not be comfortable. Next time you see one of those pictures of good-looking Jesus carrying a nice-looking sheep back home, might even be one in this building somewhere, I want you to take a look at it. And I want you to imagine for a minute that that sheep isn't you. And it isn't some former church member that hasn't shown up lately and we wish would come back. I want you to imagine that that sheep is someone you're not very comfortable with. I want you to imagine that's someone you struggle to love and probably don't like. Someone you wouldn't agree with on a single thing. Someone you refuse to forgive for what they know they did. Someone you don't ever think could be a follower of Jesus, and if you're honest, you're not sure why Jesus would want them anyway. Next time you see that picture, I challenge you to name that sheep with the name of someone so lost, there's no use going after them. And then I want you to consider for a moment that that's exactly the sheep Jesus is looking for. That's the sheep Jesus wants in the fold. That's the sheep Jesus loves enough to chase. If we see the parable that way, maybe we begin to get an idea of how uncomfortable those men listening might have been. And we we might be able to understand, at least begin to, just how good this good shepherd really is. Because he cares about all the lost sheep. You and me, those who are lost, those who are lost and don't know it, those who are lost but don't think they could be. The good shepherd is so good, he doesn't just welcome sinners. He goes looking for them. And he parties when one comes home. And who among us wouldn't do the same? Wouldn't care about the lost? Well, I'm not sure we'd always want to answer that question. At least until we realize that we might be one of them. And once we do, and maybe only when we do, can we begin to understand just how good this good shepherd really is. And maybe even rejoice with him and all of heaven when any of the lost, including ourselves, is found. Amen.